You're listening to the Highway School of Supernatural Ministry with Corinne Preston.
Wow, I'm so excited. I can really feel like a real deep, tangible presence of the Holy Spirit tonight, and it's so different to any of the other nights. So I don't know what to say, other than, who has a red car? So hot. You live in a house of number 13, and I just feel like, is there anyone here who's got a house who has a red car and your house number is number 13, or the number 13 means anything to you? Is there anyone? Oh, wow. Sure. I really just felt like God was just saying to you that He's set you apart for a time such as this, but God says it's almost like you're on this stage now where you're going to start to create a momentum, where there's a momentum in the spirit realm, where there's a momentum in your life. And I don't know why God said a red car and a number 13. I don't know what significance that has. But I just know that there's a momentum that's begun in the spirit. And that God is saying to you, what He has started, He cannot stop. And so a while ago, James and I were at the rugby, and there were these guys during the interval, and they were in these big balls. And I don't know why they were doing this, but have you ever seen these massive balls and you run in that ball and that ball just goes and goes and goes and goes? And I felt to say to you, Cherise, that you are in this ball, and this ball is enwrapped and tangled around you, and it's the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as you're resting in the presence of those Holy Spirit, you're literally just going step, 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 and there's momentum that's just carrying on. And I just, it's going to be amazing. I just see you in your workplace. I see you just, I don't even know, but just bawling people over for Jesus. I don't know, like, just this momentum in God. And I just feel like you've cried out to God for so many things, and God has said to you that He hears every heart's desire. He knows every heart's desire, and He just hasn't forgotten you. He really loves you. And then there was somebody with drums. Like, I saw the drums, and they started to beat in my heart, and I felt like, I don't know, is there anyone here who's really wanted to play the drums and you've never ever, you've never had the guts to play them? Really? Oh, wow. Sure, Lord. I'm so thankful I'm being obedient. Yeah, I just felt like God said it's time to start playing and just to step out. And it's not in your ability, but it's in His ability. And the fact that I saw the drums, I felt the drums, I heard the drums, it just means that God's heart for you is that whatever you're going to do on these drums is going to be amazing, girl. So you just need to press through in that thing. Oh, okay. Does anyone else have a word, a prophetic word? Anyone else feeling anything in the Spirit? Because I've just been, anyone, Pete, Lee, do you guys want to release them? Thank you. I really have been so, so, so excited about God. And I cannot believe that it's been 6 weeks. It's like, tonight is it. Like, this is it. Cheers, guys. I think this mic's a bit loud, hey, babe. Going in my ears. But I can't believe that it's been 6 weeks. It's been amazing. And I'm really just trusting God that He's done a lot of solidifying in your heart over this time. But one thing that's been so big in my life, and one testimony that I have, is that, you know, that when we step out, God is so much bigger, higher, wider, deeper, mightier. He is just so awesome that when we step out, He multiplies what we do. We just step out, He does the work. And I've just had on my heart this whole, for the last 5 weeks, is that God is in the big things, but He's also in the small things. And I also feel like, you know, I don't know how many of you, you know that I just love this, I love the game reserves. And so, like, when you go into a big five game reserve, it's amazing, because when you go to Kruger or to these big five, it's like, everyone just wants to see the big five. They want to see the lion, the cheetah, the leopard, the elephant, the rhino, blah, blah. They're just interested in the big five. That's it. And they miss out on all the small things. And then, and we used to be like that. When we used to run into the Kruger, we used to be, I want to see leopard, I want to see lion. We didn't care about anything else. And then about a few months ago, I went to Shishlui, and what we did was we said, okay, we're not going to see the big five, because you never see the big five at Shishlui, even though they say, but we're going to find all the little things. And so we split up into three cars, and we were playing this game amongst the three of us, and we had this list. And like anyone who saw an interesting spider, it was 5 points. Anyone who saw a dung beetle, it was 10 points. And it was the buck, and it was the giraffe, and it was everything from big to small. And the day when we came back from that game drive, we felt so fulfilled, and so we had like 1,000 points. We had seen so much. And it's because we were ticking off as we were going. And God just dropped in my heart that so many times as Christians, we want the big stuff. We want the dead raised. We want the blind eyes open. We want the cancer healed. We want the big deals. We want that. And we trust God for that, and we step out for God. And now I'm not saying that we mustn't step out for that. Please, that's not what I'm saying. But we trust God for that, and then that doesn't happen, and then we get let down. And actually, there's been so many little things that have been happening all along the way, the whole time. There's been little things that God has been speaking to us about, little things that God has been putting in our paths. And I really had on my heart in the last week is that we need to have a thankful heart towards God. A heart that is thankful for the big, but a heart that is thankful for the small. A heart that is thankful for the relationships, a heart that is thankful for the dead to be raised. It's the same thing. In God's heart, it's the same thing. And so next week, Wednesday night, I really felt in my heart, like there's a lot of testimonies from you guys, a lot that's been happening. And I really feel like what I want to do is we're going to open up this night, on next Wednesday night, we're going to open it up to the church. You can bring your other churches, bring whoever, and we are going to have a night where we are going to thank God for the things that He has done in our lives. The big things, the small things. We're going to come before our Father, and we're going to just celebrate Him and His goodness and what He has done. And so it's going to be just a night of worship, but it's going to be a night of thanking God. So if there's anything that God's done in your life, big, small, whatever, come with a heart that's wanting to say, thank you, God. Thank you, Daddy. And I just feel like faith is going to just, like our faith is going to hit the roof. It's just going to, because when we hear what God has done, it's like, it's amazing. And thankful hearts, there's something about a thankful heart. There's something about a heart that is thankful that I believe cultivates and grows. And you know, like when we are faithful in the little, God will give us much. So we're not doing it to get much, but we are doing it because we're thankful to God. Amen? So I don't know about you, but I'm so excited. We're doing it on a Wednesday night because I want it to be a Wednesday night. Not a Sunday night, but it's cool. Like I just feel to follow on from this. And to thank God for what He has done. Because God, we can focus on what He is doing, we can focus on what He isn't doing. And we're choosing as a group of people to focus on what He is doing and to get into the river. So tonight is the last night, obviously, and when I was putting this whole thing together, I felt like a culture of honor needed to come at the end of the whole 6 weeks. And today it was amazing. The Lord revealed to me why. Because, you know, sometimes you're just obedient to God and you just rest and you don't always know the whys. It never fits together until the end. And today I saw a picture of like a quilt. And in the quilt there were different threads. And the quilt represents the kingdom of God. And we wrap the kingdom of God around us. We're enthroned with righteousness. We wrap that kingdom around us. We wear that quilt, okay? If you can see the prophetic picture. But on a quilt, the thing that sells the quilt is the design. It's the pattern. It's the design of the quilt that makes you choose which quilt you want. And I felt like, although we weave the quilt with the kingdom of God, with the messages, with what we've been preaching, that we were created for glory, our identity, we know who we are in Christ, that we understand that healing and prophecy is ours, it's gifts that God has given us, that is inside of us, that we to practice the presence of God, that the more we're in the presence of God, the more we understand Him, the more we can work from that atmosphere, from that platform. Jesus, a supernatural lifestyle, the prophetic, a culture of the prophetic. Every single week, we weave that quilt in, and we've made that quilt. We've almost created that quilt. But tonight I feel like it is the fine thread. And the truth is that the fine thread, meaning the design, is that a culture of honor is something that is so attractive and it is so rare. In today's day and age, we don't honor people. The world doesn't know how to honor because they don't know how to honor themselves. And so you honor someone for what they've achieved. You don't honor someone because they haven't done anything. And so tonight is on the culture of honor, and I feel like God is wanting to set us apart. He's wanting to set us apart, and He's wanting to enwrap this design upon us and uniquely print it on us, if that makes sense. But in the spiritual realm, it's quite deep. But God is just saying that He is doing something new in this church, in this day, in this age. God is wanting to set us apart with the designs of His kingdom, and that His kingdom is what attracts the earth to us. It's His kingdom in us that separates us from the rest of the world. It's Jesus inside of us. And so that this thing is the most beautiful thing. And if the church, if we as the church can get this right, like if you can hear my heart, that's the right words, but if we can get this thing right, to make a choice and to make a decision together that from our mouths, together as a body of Christ, we will honor and we will not tear down. We will be a people, honoring people. We will be a people that will not be bringing people down and all of that. So, this is just so on my heart. You see, the reason is that Jesus' honor empowers people. And Jesus has empowered us, and we to empower those around us. And we empower people when we honor people. Everybody wants to be honored. No one wants to be dishonored. Everybody wants to be honored. So God gives us this thing of honoring, and like from a genuineness, I'll get into that later, but so we are called to empower people. You see, honor is something so significant, and I think many of us have missed this for so long. But honor brings life. If you look at Exodus 20 verses 12, we know this scripture, and I had this scripture drilled into my head a million times. I'm sure you all did. But it says, honor your mother and your father so that your life will be prolonged. Another version of that is so that you will live a long life. Honor your mother and father so that you will live a long life. And I know that, you know, parents do that, and it's great. But you know what? There is such truth in that statement. And I know that it's under the Old Covenant, but we can still get the blessings of the Old Covenant. Okay, so for James, that's me. But because James gave you an old thing about that, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant and all that. Okay, but it's interesting to see that there's a relationship between honor and life. There's a relationship there. The two are hand in hand. You honor, you bring life. Okay, so honor paves the way forth. Honor makes the path straight for us in a sense. And Luke 6 verses 45, it says, out of the abundance of their heart, so shall the mouth speak. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to try and understand what is really in somebody's heart. How do you know what is truly and honestly in somebody's heart? Well, all we need to do is listen to what comes out of people's mouths. When we hear good, amazing, awesome things coming out of people's mouths, we know that there's just this honoring. We know that the heart's right in it, you know? So, you see, this is so important tonight because we can have signs, wonders, miracles, and the supernatural, but the truth is that if we are a people who entertain gossip, negative talk, slander, anything that is not of God, if we are a people who entertain those things, we actually block the miraculous from happening within our meetings. And I tell you why, because it's in the Bible. Believe it or not. But if we find this in Mark 6 verses 1, and we see it in Jesus in his hometown. And I don't know if you guys would like to turn there, but I'll just read it to you. I know we all know it so well. So we must also not get too familiar with scripture that we just overlook scripture as well. So Mark 6 verse 1 says, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. So Jesus had been teaching, preaching, signs, wonders, and miracles were flowing. Everybody was amped for Jesus. Everyone was excited that Jesus was coming. And here Jesus is saying, yay, I'm going to my hometown. I can imagine Jesus' heart to actually be quite excited to go to his hometown. I mean, you want to go. Like, don't you find that as a parent, or, I don't know, you want to show your kids where you grew up? Like, you want to go back to your hometown. There's some pride in your hometown, you know? This is where you were born. And so, so Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did you get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given to him, that he even does miracles? Then it comes in. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Interesting. Jesus said to him, only in his hometown, among his relatives in his own house, is a prophet without honor. He could not do more miracles there except to lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Two things from this passage of scripture. There was a lack of faith, but there was a lack of faith because there was intellectual offense. There were offended hearts, offended minds. People looked at Jesus and said, oh, but who is this? Isn't this the carpenter's son? But I know him. How can he be miraculous? How can he be great? And you know, guys, it's so interesting because it's so true. Because we always want guest speakers to come in, and we honor the guest speakers, and it is good for us to have guest speakers. But there's also, like, we get familiar with the people that we have. And so these people were familiar with Jesus. They had seen Jesus grow up as a little boy. But you see, and the truth here is that when we partner with offense, it dishonors people, and it shuts down miracles. So it's quite important because, you see, the people in Jesus' hometown actually had an orphan spirit. And unfortunately, a lot of the church today, a lot of us still suffer from an orphan spirit. Now, Rob goes into detail about this tonight in the preach that I've given you, so I'm not going to get too much into it because he is much more qualified than I am. But basically, just the orphan spirit is a spirit of abandonment. It's a spirit that you're just always feeling lonely, you always feel left out, you always feel rejected, you always feel, why not me? And so what had happened was that Jesus had come into the city, he was excited, he was going to show his miracles, signs, and wonders, he was going to be with his family, he was going to be with his good old mates, his friends, he was just going to have a good time. And yet because of these people and this intellectual sense, because these people actually in their hearts, their attitude was, why Jesus and not us? That's actually what their attitude was. Because they knew Jesus was an ordinary guy from an ordinary town. And they saw Jesus moving in signs, wonders, and miracles. And so instead of their heart being glad for Jesus, instead of their heart being happy, their heart was, why did he choose Jesus and not us? And so they weren't able to receive from Jesus. And here Jesus is, and he is wanting to give. He is wanting to heal. I mean, they missed out on such a blessing. They missed out on their families getting healed. They missed out on the miraculous. But because of that offense in their hearts, Jesus was unable to perform miracles and signs and wonders. So we see that had the people honored Jesus, life would have been released into Nazareth, but they chose to dishonor Jesus. So they made their own choice. And so what I want to say to us today is be careful of offended heart, because offended heart, an intellectual offense, blocks. Because, well, let me explain it properly. When we are offended, we don't have faith. Because actually there's a block in our heart to receive from God. Because we offended. And there's a many different kinds of offenses. There's an intellectual offense where doctrinally we cannot get past that doctrine. We cannot, somebody says something and we are offended at what he said. And it's almost like the preacher can preach for the next 45 minutes and you will not hear what he says because you're stuck on the first 5 minutes in your mind. And so we miss out on the heart of the thing. We miss out on what the preacher was actually saying. We miss out on what the person was saying, but we were intellectually offended. And so the people were offended in Nazareth and they missed out. The reason why, okay, I'll move on. So it's so important not to partner with offense, to get rid of offense. A culture of honor will cause the supernatural to multiply. It really will. Why? Because you see, this is quite interesting. The wealth of the kingdom is not money. Money, it's our wealth in the physical realm, but it's not in the kingdom. The wealth in the kingdom is the gifts. I wrote it down, is the gifts, is anointing, and is a grace to function as Jesus did here on earth. That is the wealth in the kingdom of God. So, the kingdom of God, okay, I'm going to try and explain it, but in Matthew 10, verses 41, it says, honor a prophet in the name of a prophet, and you will receive a prophet's reward. Alright? So Bill Johnson speaks about this quite often. I think you'll do a better job at it than I will, Ian, at telling the story. But Bill Johnson speaks about this quite often, and he says that there was a time when he hadn't opened up the prophetic at all. He hadn't prophesied before at all. And a guy by the name of Dick Mills came, and Bill Johnson honored this guy as a prophet. Okay? And Dick Mills got up onto the stage and he began to prophesy. Then he called Bill and he said, Bill, come on up and now you're going to prophesy. And Bill was scared. He says he was petrified. But he stood up there and all of a sudden he began to prophesy. Why? Because there is an impartation of gifts in the spiritual realm as we honor the gift that it's coming from. If that makes sense. So as Bill was able to honor Dick Mills, I don't know if any of you know him, apparently he's amazing, but as Bill was able to honor, he came under that covering and he was able to grab hold of the prophetic gift within Dick. And ever since then, he's been able to prophesy. And we know that he ministers in the prophetic and it's amazing. So you see, why is it that this happens? Because grace is favor that enables. It's got nothing to do with people. It's just grace. It's just God. God is good. God wants to give good gifts. God sends us gifts to preach. God wants us to have those gifts. They receive those gifts freely. We can receive those gifts freely. We honor, we receive. Beautiful, isn't it? But where our heart is not honoring, where our heart is, oh, but you said this, oh, but you're irritating, oh, but you, that's not honoring. We won't receive anything. And we'll walk away judging the preach on the basis of our knowledge and what we liked and we disliked. We actually missed out on a huge prophetic gift. We actually missed out on so much more in the kingdom of God. So yes, I'm saying that by standing under the anointing of another person who is walking in the gifts, you can receive that same anointing. We receive, and actually we can receive an inheritance from other people. So when you recognize a gift, honor that person. It's interesting that the Bible says, honor a prophet in the name of a prophet, and you will receive a prophet's reward. So I see a prophet and I honor that prophet. I can receive that prophet's reward. But in other words, I recognize there's a gifting, there's a prophetic gifting that is flowing from this person. I recognize that whatever this person is saying, they are saying it from the throne room of heaven. This person is operating in something amazing and I want that. I honor that in that person. But often we have a thing where we honor a person as a brother. If you just honor that prophet as a brother, hey bud, how you doing? Hey, awesome. Don't really respect him. Just think he's another guy. You'll just get a brother's reward. So it's actually up to us. It's actually, what do you want in the kingdom? God, what do you want in the kingdom? What do you want? Because it's yours. The kingdom of God is so much bigger than we can ever imagine. It's not just, there's not boxed to little things. It's so much bigger. And you see, honor actually is amazing because honor has a value on heaven. Heaven places a high value on honoring. Why? Because of what the Bible says. If you honor a prophet in the name of a prophet, then you will receive a prophet's reward. And there they're talking about rewards in heaven. So it's also a heavenly reward. So you understand. So it's just so exciting. So now, when Rob Rufus comes, when Finney and Izzy DeGiustini comes, when those guys come, let's honor them. Let's suck too much, right? But let's honor them. Let's see the gifting that they have. Let's understand the prophetic, the prophet that actually Rob is. Rob gave a prophetic voice to this church that opened this church up. And honestly, he took us on a whole new walk. Let's honor Rob. You know, I heard today my friend in Hong Kong SMS'd me, and how awesome is this? He was probably shared, but I'll tell you guys in any case. Bill Johnson and Rob Rufus were supposed to do a conference together in the UK. Rob couldn't make the meeting. UK. Rob couldn't make the meeting, so Bill Johnson changed his dates to be with Rob Rufus. Hey? Amazing. That's just awesome. It's just awesome. It just shows you how the kingdom, grace, is just coming together. It's tying a knot together. And God is actually doing something so much bigger than we can ever imagine. So, and also, just Steve. I really have so much honor in my heart towards Steve Wheeler. I mean, that man, if it wasn't for Steve, we would never have understood this gospel the way that we do today. I mean, James was saying, he owes Steve the rest of his life. Like, it sounds hectic. But we really do. We have everything to give to Steve because Steve is a man that has paved the way, that has opened our eyes to understand the gospel in its fullness, the entirety of this great message, the fullness of the gospel, where there is no more legalism in our church, there is no more religion in our church. And that's because of Steve. And so, I honor that man as the lead elder of this church. How beautiful is he? How beautiful is he to have paved the way so that we may have the righteousness of Christ? I mean, that's what leadership's about. So, it's just this amazing thing in honoring. And you see, honor just expresses value in other people. It's just we value people's lives, you know? And the truth is that, like I said to you just now, that the world doesn't know how to honor. The world has no idea how to honor. But friends, we know, because we are new creations in Christ. Jesus Christ, the fullness of Jesus is inside of us. We are a new creation, so honor should come naturally from us, because honor comes from the mouth of the Father. So it's something that we already want to do. It's something who you already are. And when we begin to walk in this, we realize that we don't just honor people because they are honorable, but we actually honor people because we're honorable. I'll say it again. It's quite awesome. We don't just honor people because they are honorable. We honor people because we are honorable. Change in mindset. That says that I am an honorable person. I am honorable. Why? It sounds almost negative, but it's not. I'm honorable. Why? Because I'm a daughter of the Most High God. I have Jesus inside of me. I'm His child. I'm His daughter. Therefore, I am honorable. So now, if you are being horrible to me, I choose to honor you, not because of what you are doing, but because I am honorable. It's a change in attitude. It's a change in mindset. It's actually a condition of the heart. Quite frankly, it's actually a heart condition. And you see, honoring someone means that we value them as people because they are created in God's image. That's it. We value each other. We value you because you are in God's image. I can see God shining through you. You see, we only have as much influence in the lives of others as they have value for us. We all want influence in the lives of others. We all want to influence people's lives. We all want to be great. We all want to talk. You know what I'm saying? We all want to have influence. But we will only have as much influence as other people value us. Because people like to be honored, like we said. So when we honor people from our hearts, they begin to see value in us. And as they begin to see value in us, because we are honoring them, because we are empowering them, they begin to value us, so our influence increases with our people. It's not about controlling people. We don't influence people by controlling people. We have no control. We empower people through honoring lives. Now, honestly, I'm not saying at all that we honor in order to gain influence. Like, that's just a wrong heart motive. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that honor must also already be in our hearts towards somebody else. It's like love in our hearts that we want to honor each other. We want to love someone else. If you just honor someone just for the sake of honoring them, just to say something nice, that person is going to give you a squiff eye and say, cut the flattery. Because we can very easily know the difference between flattery and honoring. You can tell it like that. You can see it a mile away. So when our hearts are true to what God is doing, and when God has put this love in our hearts for our brothers, our sisters, our church, our leadership, our workplaces, wherever we are, where God has put this love, we're just honoring people because we're honorable. We're just saying the right thing because we are the right people. We are God's chosen people, so we make the right decisions, if you know what I mean. So this whole thing is it's a mental shift. It's a condition of our hearts. And so our words have power. We've got to know that, and this has come up so many times, that our words have power. And Proverbs 18, verses 21, we know this verse so well. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat its fruits. So how is this for a thought? If you are constantly speaking life over people, you will reap life in your life. Kingdom. Beyond our understanding. When we are releasing life into people's lives and speaking about them, we'll start to see life in our life. Life destined to reign. Like, there is a reigning in life that is going to come through the Spirit of God because we are speaking life over other people's lives. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So when we, that's why our tongues are so powerful, friends. That's why what we say has got the power to speak life or death. When we are speaking negatively over people, okay, I was just going to say this. If you are speaking negatively and finding fault in others, chances are you're insecure because you haven't had much fruit in that area. That's the truth. So, because if we're speaking negatively, the fruit that will come is negative fruit. Because the Word of God says the tongue has power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So if you're speaking negatively and love speaking badly, now I know it's none of you here, but I'm just opening our minds to it. But if we speak negatively of someone, we will reap negative fruit. And I'm not trying to put a law on anyone. I'm not trying to put a heavy on anyone. But let's just live a life of honor, and you will live a good life, and it will be a long life. Let's just honor each other. Let's just walk in a culture of honor and just loving people. You see, how do we produce a culture of honor? Now, Danny Silk has got that book out, The Culture of Honor. I have read it. And he speaks a lot on how, because what happens is in life, we do get offended. We're real. We're people. We get offended. People hurt us. We get insecure at times. But what do we do with that offense? Because for us to say none of us are going to get offended is silly. We are going to get offended. But the truth is what do we do with that offensive heart? And so there will never be a true culture of honor without confrontation. And we need to be able to confront our people. We need to be able to go to the people that are hurting us, who has caused an offense. We go to that person. We don't go to 20 other people and then to that person. We go to that person who's caused the offense in our heart. And when we go to that person, we go out of a heart of just absolute love. Because I know I'm very confrontational. And when I'm cross, I just want to confront. And I want to confront like it is. And that's actually not loving. It's not. It's not God. So you got to go away. Got to go and just get into the presence of God. Allow God's love to come so that I can confront out of a place of love. You see, if we just keep putting issues under the mat, I tell you what, offense is terrible. Because it is the most bitter, horrible thing. If we keep pushing it under the mat and we don't deal with that offense, it just takes one person who doesn't know anything about what your life is to come and say one little thing and it triggers off that whole offense. It just brings it all up again and it gets uglier as the years get on. And it just gets uglier and uglier and uglier. So we need to be able to deal with the offenses in our hearts. But and in that book, and also I think in your books, I've written it down word for step by step how to confront godly in a godly way, how to do it. But I didn't feel to go into it tonight. But I also just wanted to say that another thing is, which was amazing, is that when we confront somebody, and because this is also old teaching, like we used to want to confront somebody, we want to almost control that person. So I know I'm going to confront James, but I actually want him to say sorry to me tonight because he was actually very ugly to me and I deserve him to say sorry. What that actually is I'm controlling him. So I will have a thing to control him to say what he wants to say to me. You see, as leaders, for too long, leaders have sat in confrontations and controlled their people in order for their people to respond in the way we've wanted them to respond. That is not godly. We don't control our people. We empower our people. So when we confront, we get the people to do the thinking. We show them the consequences that they've done. But at the same time, like I said to you, the details are on that book, but at the same time, it's all in love, and it's that person who recognizes that they need to be sorry. It's much better for James to come to me and say he's sorry than for me to force him to say sorry to me. And I think we've done that in church for so long. We forced our people to do certain things so that they'll do those things. Anyway, so instead of controlling people, we empower them. We empower people by honoring them. Your words empower people's lives. And there's a whole thing about guarding our mouths, guarding the talk that comes out of our mouths, guarding the negativity talk. It's so easy to stand in the line at Woolworths. I've done it so many times. And people just start talking about the newspaper and how bad the crime is. And before you know it, I'm in the conversation, and I'm like, oh, yes, and my friend, and this, and this, and this. Like, it's so easy for us to just get roped into the talk of negativity all the time, you know? We need to watch our mouths. In church, we need to watch just the negativity that's just going, that sometimes just goes around. Guard our hearts against that sort of stuff. Honor our leaders. Honor the elders. I'm not an elder, technically, so I can say this, but honor the elders. The elders deserve honor. It says in 1 Timothy 5 verse 17, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. So when you hear, because from time to time in church there are politics. I've never known one church without politics. When we hear of negative politics, let's just cut them off at the root. Let's not entertain the negative talk. Let's talk life over our people. And actually, when we're doing that, when we're speaking truth, we need to see ourselves as allowing, we cutting the negative talk off. Why? Because we want to see the miraculous invade our church. Because we don't want our people to sit with hard hearts. We don't want our people to miss out on what God is doing because of their lack of faith, because they've got a hard, offended heart. So let's be a people that cuts that thing, roots it out, throws it away, doesn't enter our hearts at all. You see, honor has the eyes to see the invisible and bring out the best in people. That is so beautiful. We have eyes to see the best in people. And when a community of people learn to discern and receive people in their God-given identity, When we learn to see people how God sees them, it's not our view on people anymore, it's on how God sees them. And that is what causes a mental shift. So this girl is irritating the living daylights out of me, but Lord, show me how you see her. Oh, she's not that bad. So it's seeing things from God. It's seeing people the way God sees them. So why is it so important to honor? You see, when you honor somebody, they rise up to the level that you honor them in. When I say to somebody like Tessa and Stuart, they are doing such an amazing job with the visitors. When I honor them and thank them and just thank you guys for doing what you're doing. Thank you for giving up your Sundays. Thank you for rising up and stepping out of the crowd and helping us as elders. Thank you so much. Now, what happens is that when we honor, they rise. There's nothing inside of them that wants to, oh, go away. Is there? But when we honor people, we bringing an expectation up. They rise up. They want to be honorable people. They want to rise to the level that you're honoring them. So when we start to speak life over people and just loving people, you'll see people will rise. I think for so long, the church has dishonored or tried to control people, and we've, in love, tried to control people, and it's actually suppressed people, rather than honoring and empowering people. So what is your gifting? You want to play the drums, Lejean? Go for it. Come on, I know you can do it. I mean, just empower people. So we do not honor somebody just because of what they do. We honor them because we see by faith who they really are in the kingdom of God. You see, when we have a revelation that we are truly and honestly sons and daughters of the King of Kings, of the Most High God, when we understand who we are in Christ, we want to just honor people. We want to just love people. And when I know who I am, and when I see that actually this person is actually the child of God, I just want to honor them. Okay, I've hit that point enough. But we have the influence to make people shine. We have that influence over one another. So let's make the decision that we are going to honor, that we don't want offended hearts, and that we want the miraculous in our lives. Let's pave the way for the miraculous to come into this church. I really believe with all of my heart that revival is going to break out here in July. I really believe it. God has poised us. He has positioned us. He has done an incredible work in the hearts of these people. And I just believe it with all of my heart that it's going to be a huge revival. And I feel like the people who are going to miss out are the people who are going to dishonor. They're not going to have honor in their hearts. So that's it for me, but I really just feel like God wants to rid us of offense. And that offense just niggles in there. It just comes in there. We sometimes don't even know. And I just feel like tonight in the spirit, I'm trusting God just to take that offense in your heart and to suck it up like, you know when you got that toilet, when there's a blockage at the toilet. That toilet thing, what's it called? A plunger. I'm just trusting the Holy Spirit that He's coming into your hearts right now. Just speak that right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask Holy Spirit that you plunge out the offenses of our hearts so that we may be a people who are open to the miraculous, Lord God. Father, plunge out the offenses. I just see God just building together, just almost sewing up the stitches of hurts and hearts where people have also dishonored us, where we have been hurt, where we have allowed offense to creep into our hearts. But I just feel like we need to release it now. Just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just plunge it up. You just suck it out of us. We just give it to you, Lord God. We don't want to be a people with offensive hearts. So any offense right now, supernaturally, just to be gone in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just ask you now just for an increase of, I just ask you, Holy Spirit, that you just come right now by your Spirit and you just almost fuse our tongues with honoring words. With honoring words and honoring hearts. Hearts that are wanting to honor because of you, because of who you are, Lord God. Because of how awesome you have been, Lord. But I pray that, Lord, that on our tongues, we would not even think. We would not even think. We would just say, and you would just cause the honor to flow off of our tongues because of what you have done in our hearts, Lord God. Father, I pray for every single negative word that is spoken over people's lives here right now in the name of Jesus, where people may have thought that they cannot do it, where I just feel like there's been people on this course and they've even felt the whole time over this course that they disqualified for the supernatural. I just break that right now in the name of Jesus. I break that in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you are qualified for the supernatural. I thank you that we cannot afford to have thoughts in our minds that are not from God. The thoughts that we have in our minds about us are thoughts that are from God. When we consume our minds with thoughts from us, it's just going to bring us down. When we have our minds filled with the thoughts from God, it just fills us up. So I just thank you, Father God. I thank you. I just speak over Highway now, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we would be a church that would be honoring. We'd be honoring of our leaders. We'd be honoring of the gifts that are in this body, Lord. We'd be honoring of each other, Father God. I thank you, Father, for just an impartation of heavenly gifts over our people right now, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that the gifts of prophecy, Lord God, that healing, that, Lord God, that just discerning spirits, Lord, just a few people just discerning in the spirit, just an increase of giftings within this body, wealth in the kingdom of God in our body. I speak that right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you for honoring hearts, Lord God. I thank you that we are designed to be a pattern that stands out because of our honoring, Lord God. We are designed not to be like the rest of the people, but because we will honor, Lord God, you will be faithful, Father God.